Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Congressman, welcome to Philadelphia. It's a difficult situation we're in here, but I'm very grateful we got you. You're a big favorite of our listeners, and I know you've been around the trial, various events in New York. What are your impressions? What are the things that break out of you at this point in time?
Well, I mean, look, a couple things. First, the trial is a joke. I mean, it's a trial, which is what's truly disgusting, and frankly un-American, but there's still no underlying crime. Mm-hmm. Even in the closing arguments, they couldn't identify an underlying crime. Then you got the judge telling the jury, well, you can just piecemeal the law however you want to. You guys can pick and choose amongst yourselves which law he violated, but if you all come back and say he violated the law, then he's guilty. Like, this is nuts. Like, this is not even, man, forget Republican, Democrat, forget the fact that Joe Biden sucks, we all know that. I mean, we are talking about a complete unraveling of human liberty in America simply because the Democrats have lost their mind. So that's really what's on top of my mind. Like, it has gotten that, it is that terrible for our country.
I agree. Now, have you been able to observe the jury? Today I made note, several commentators I trust said a lot of jurors were taking careful notes. I take that as a good sign. There are going to be a few people on the jury that see it the way that you and I do. If there are two or more, then this is going to backfire. What are you sensing?
I mean, when I was there, what I sensed was is that I think the prosecution lost one or two, maybe three of the jurors, where even when they were cross-examining Michael Cohen, that, you know, you could see their faces like cringe, twist. Like, really, like, are they serious? Like, did he really say that? That kind of body language. So, look, I think it's going to be a hung jury. That's what I think. Because
there's
just no case here. It's insane.
Exactly.
But that being said, the fact we're going through this is a very difficult thing to watch.
Exactly. Now, I follow you carefully, and, you know, you have the added burden of the media coming after you on the issue of a conservative congressman and race. You made comments about Joy Reid recently. President Biden was in town today. I think Girard College is a special place. I've been there many times. These are kids in a boarding school, poor, mostly black children. And they are getting a good shot. This is a good school. He opened up today by telling them that MAGA Republicans, conservatives, want to get rid of black history, want to just excise it, banning books. And we're not going to stand for that. Give me your thoughts, particularly the type of crossfire that you get.
I mean, I get it from the press sometimes. I get it from, you know, other people. But honestly, most of these people are pretty lame. Like, they're not going to do anything. Like, they're not going to – they just talk about you. But as long as you have the courage and the ability to stand your own 2 feet and you have actual examples and you have reasons and logic for why you believe what you believe versus just political talking points and foolishness, then that gives you everything you need to stand firm. But the press, they come at me with the silliest things. Like, they, like the New York Times came at me the other day with ridiculous arguments. Because, and the reason why they have to do this is because if the American people actually sit and listen to logical common sense, they will realize that the Democrats have lost it and that the media is in the pocket and they won't want it. They will reject it wholesale. And look, let's call it what it is. The media is in the pockets of the Democrats. That's just what it is. They want the same thing that the Democrats want. They're in their pocket. And so they'll destroy anybody. It doesn't matter who you are, white, black, Hispanic. You're on the chopping block if you oppose their agenda.
Congressman, to that point, for years, ever since I've been doing talk radio, which is decades, in Philadelphia, we've said Democrats, particularly where I am in Philadelphia, you know the layout here, have taken voters of color for granted. Up and down the line, we see this constant. What is it about Trump? Because whether the polling is slightly off or not, there's no doubt that he has broken through. The South Bronx was just one example. What is it that's breaking through at this point that other Republicans have not been able to do?
The fact that he talks direct. He doesn't mince words. He doesn't play games. Everything isn't perfectly crafted. I tell some of my colleagues sometimes, I'm like, don't write your speeches. You already know what you want to say. Just go say it. Like, you know, like you are elected for a reason. You don't need a staffer or a consultant to craft everything for you perfectly, so that way you don't fall in the crosshairs of ABC News or CNN. No, the heck with that. And that's not where people are. And I think it's just bigger than just black voters. I would tell you that's where most people are right now. They want you to be direct. They don't want you to pull punches. That's what Donald Trump does. And so I think that now that you're seeing with black voters, Hispanic voters starting to come his way, is because he just has a no-nonsense approach. He's not going to run away from people who criticize him. As a matter of fact, he engages them and is trying to find ways to beat them at every turn. People respect that. You couple that with the fact that Joe Biden's the master of disaster. Like, everything has gone wrong. Like, I heard in Philadelphia today, they could barely fill a gym. I mean, that's nuts for a sitting president to barely fill a gymnasium.
Well, but and these were mostly children.
The president.
Yeah, there's like 200 or 300 kids that were in there that are brought in through the school because it's a boarding school. So they're kind of a captive audience. You're right. He just can't draw. That's a sign. A little bit, if you would, because it's the first opportunity I had to talk with you. And as I said, listeners really admire the stuff that you're doing. A little bit of your background before you came to Congress, how you got here. What are some big issues for Congressman Donalds?
I'm a finance guy. I was in banking, insurance, financial services before I got into politics. So for me, like I became a conservative really because of economics, because it was my career. And then when I started paying attention to politics, my economic viewpoints kind of really settled in to kind of frame the rest of my politics. So I'm a simple guy. You know, if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. That's kind of my overarching worldview. And then everything else comes after that. So, you know, for me, what I want to see, cutting regulations at the federal level. So, you know, mom and pops, small businesses, medium-sized businesses, large businesses, they can go thrive. You know, one of the big things that's happened in our country from when Obama was president was they did this Dodd-Frank regulation to save the country from the banks, from the big banks. Well, the only thing that's happened is the big banks have gotten massively bigger. Small banks are virtually gone in the United States. So how does that help the little guy? I mean, the Democrats always say they want to help the little guy. Well, their own banking regulatory policy has destroyed community banking in the United States. That doesn't help mom and pop businesses. So I want everybody to be successful. I want everybody to thrive. And so I don't get into dogmas. Big government's not good for people. Lower taxes is what's good for people. Less regulation is what's good for people. Securing a border is a good thing. People secure their house, but we don't secure our country. That makes no sense. That's idiotic. You know, and so that's really what drives me. I just want an America that works. And if it works and we're using common sense, we're using logic, we're using conservative principles, the country's going to be better off and its people are going to be better off.
Well, I can tell why you don't need talking points now that I know the background a little bit. Congressman often talked on the VIP list, particularly with our listeners. What are your thoughts about that, particularly your style and what we've just talked about? That would play well with President Trump as a VP candidate.
Well, you know, I really don't get into it too much because it's really the president's decision. So I'll tell you what I think about, you know, what I think will help the campaign. You got to have somebody who can go out there and take the message. You know, I think that's critical. Yeah, I think you got to have somebody who's going to be tough with the media because, you know, they're going to be going at that person left and right. Obviously, that person's got to be able to just hit the ground running, help the campaign, raise money, all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, you know, we win the White House. We win the House. We win the Senate. You have all three. I think the vice president's got to be very helpful in getting the agenda done. You know, being on Capitol Hill a couple of years, I'll tell you, a lot of times where things don't happen on Capitol Hill is frankly because the leadership gets weak-kneed or you get a couple of members who say, oh, well, we can't vote for that. We can't do that. It'll hurt us in our district. And that's how some of these things really don't get across the line. So you got to have, you know, you got to kind of have an intermediary between the White House and Congress to help get that stuff done and get it through Congress and get it to the president's desk. Because at the end of the day, if we're, as a Republican, if the American people give us all three branches, give us the two key branches of government, give us the Congress and the White House, you got to do something with it. Like, you can't screw around and then be like, oh, well, it didn't work out because, you know, the New York Times isn't going to like us. You know, screw those guys.
Exactly.
They don't like
and
us
Congressman,
anyway.
Is it your sense President Trump had a lot of drive, the wall and everything else in the first team? But let's face it, you know, you can tell someone what it's like in Congress. You were told that before you went in. But you see what the roadblocks are. And in a second term, you know that you have to really drill down on these things if you're going to accomplish it, even over 4 years.
Yeah. No, you really, really do. And you got to have a strategic vision for it, just on the way Capitol Hill works. So you have to have the vision. Donald Trump has that. You got to have the tactical ability to move all that stuff through and get it done. And a lot of times what ends up in these bills are discussions between chairman and leadership and a handful of members. And you got to make sure that you got key parties on Capitol Hill involved in those discussions of how you're going to craft this stuff so that when it gets to the floor, it gets voted up and it gets out of that chamber. Last thing you want is for, like, you know, the speaker and one chairman to decide everything that was going to be in the bill, and other members get to see it and they're like, what the heck is this? That sucks. We don't want that in there. Or worse yet, for the White House to see it and then be like, hey, well, why did y'all put that in there? That's stupid. That's not what we wanted to do. You got to be working as a team, House, Senate, White House. You got to be functioning, everybody on the same page, and then working hard to get it done.
Congressman, thank you. Thanks for being generous with your time. Always welcome in Philadelphia. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, man. Anytime.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.